Mike Madrid is with me now in the studio. He is a political strategist known for his expertise in Latino voting. He is a Republican who does not support the president. Maybe that was said in that way as an understatement. Thanks for joining this conversation. I know you had to sit here while I was talking to Reverend Williams, and I know it's not easy to jump in and kind of either explain or defend what the Lincoln Project is doing because it's so new.
Yeah.
Would you say a little bit about what it is besides stopping the reelection of the president?
Yeah. So there's been a keen awareness amongst a number of people that have been involved and dedicated most of their professional and adult lives to the Republican Party and the conservative movement, that what Donald Trump embodies is really not anything like what the conservative efforts in the post-World War II era have looked like. We would argue very strenuously that Donald Trump is a populist. He is a nationalist. He is an isolationist. He is not a conservative. And that's where, again, I would take issue with some of, you know, what the good chairman just mentioned and other Republicans, people that are generally in the hierarchy of the party, are trying to do to defend him. So the Lincoln Project was launched by a number of us nationwide to first stop the reelection of the president of the United States, Donald Trump. Second is to remove from office those Republicans who have decided to move in that direction and kind of leave those conservative principles for a more populist nationalist party.
So the Reverend Williams talked about unemployment going down, the stock market going up, the appointment of conservative judges. Mm-hmm. Those sound like points of common ground across the Republican Party.
They kind of do, but I think it is fascinating, and we see this a lot with the evangelical community, that, you know, pastors are referencing kind of the economic conditions, and that is one of the challenges that we have. I don't take issue with his personal issues, but we believe that there's a lot more than economics at stake here. We believe that the institutions of democracy are at stake, and regardless of whether the economy is doing good or bad, the United States needs to endure. And what we are seeing is the rattling of the very undercarriage of these institutions that have served us as a nation very well for 250 years. That's a lot more important than how the Dow is doing or what employment numbers are at this point in time. And I think that you will find, especially with the minority communities, Latinos and African Americans specifically, there is overwhelming opposition to this president's presidency, regardless of unemployment numbers. And that's what we're going to be focusing on, is there is something much bigger at stake here than whether or not we are seeing the GDP grow by half a point or whether unemployment numbers are moving by a percentage or two. We believe that the country and the republic is at stake.
Make that specific to the Republican Party.
Well,
there's a quote from last week, by the way, that you said at the Sacramento Press Club luncheon. I was there. I heard it. Mm-hmm. That if the president is reelected, it could mean the death of the Republican Party as it is.
Well, I want to revise that quote a little bit. I think the Republican Party is already dead. I think what we have seen, what we're seeing right now, is kind of an undead party, which is a corpse walking around, but the whole soul of it has been gutted out, meaning it doesn't have an ideological core anymore. There are no guiding principles that this president has not violated. And when you have a party that does not have a consistent policy platform, you basically just have a gang of people following a cult of personality. And that's where the party is. So if Donald Trump says, now we like the Russians, now we're going to raise taxes, now we're going to increase tariffs, now we're going to expand the debt, now we're going to do whatever we're going to do, everything that has violated core Republican values for 25 years, the base goes along with them. We find that problematic. We don't think that's a political party anymore. We think it's a sign of a broader social problem with emerging populism that has consumed the American right and is very close to consuming the American left. And I think it's, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, I think you really do need to pay attention to what is going on, because there is a very real chance that in 2020, we will have a populist candidate on the right in Donald Trump and a populist candidate on the left. And if that happens, it will be the first time in our history as a nation that we will have two populists running for president of the United States. And that's a very precarious position for a democracy to be in.
Which says what about the next 4 years with either winning?
Well, depending on who wins and who wins the nomination for the Democratic Party, I think what it says is that we are finally seeing the disruption that has hit kind of the newspaper industry, the music industry, the transportation industry, consuming our political system. And what that means for a future, we don't entirely know. But what we do know is this, It will not be driven by the standard ideological principles of traditional political party behavior, where you cannot, for example, violate basic core tenets such as raising taxes or supporting free markets or supporting a strong international order the way that the Republican Party has since at least the 1940s and 1950s. What we have now is a president that has violated every basic tenet of what the Republican Party has stood for 50 years, and he did it within the first 18 months in office. And yet, he enjoys some of the strongest support amongst the Republican Party of any candidate in our history. That's a sign of a broader social phenomenon. That is not the sign of a healthy, functioning, normal political party. And what that means is we are entering, I believe, a post-ideological time where we are going to have smaller and smaller political parties that will be driven more and more by cults of personality.
In terms of disruptions, the super PAC itself is a disruptor. There is a list of advisors of which you are a part of. Rick Wilson, Steve Schmidt, Jennifer Horn, Reed Galen. At the top of the list, George Conway. Mm-hmm. George Conway is married to Kellyanne Conway.
Right.
Who is often and continues to be the president's speaker, spokesperson, whatever. So the split in ideologies goes from their family outwards. I think so many people have asked, how do you reunite the country? Let's just stick with California.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to California Republicans, and what are Latino voters in California doing about this race?
Well, it's a great question, and they're really interrelated. So the California Republican Party, as I mentioned earlier, from the quote I said about, you know, the Republican Party being dead, the Republican Party a few months ago slipped behind no party preference as a preference for voters in California, meaning there are more Californians who don't want to choose any party than are choosing the Republican Party. And the registration numbers amongst California Republicans are collapsing. It's not happening at a slow pace anymore. It's devolving very, very quickly. There are 15 legislative seats that will not have a Republican candidate because they can't find people to run for these state legislative offices at this time. And the last gubernatorial candidate had the worst showing in a century. There are only 7 of 54, 56 congressional seats represented by Republicans. So the prognosis in California is not good. I don't believe that the party is going to come back in our lifetimes. And if it does, it's going to come back as a very different sort of party. It's not going to look like it does currently. And that is in large part, not entirely due to the increase in Latino voters, but due in large parts to it. Because what you are seeing is as the Republican Party begins to embody a more a party of aggrieved white identity, which is what populist nationalism is, you are starting to see a tremendous alienation and disassociation from virtually every other racial or ethnic group. If you look at Asian Pacific Islanders, if you look at African Americans, and if you look at Latinos, every one of those groups is voting 75% for the Democrats. The Republican Party is 80% white in a state that is only 36% white. And it tends to be where there is a healthy Republican Party in California, it's in very rural areas, very low rates of college education, significantly lower levels of household income. These parts of California look a lot more like the Rust Belt states where Trump has his base than they do the rest of what this state is becoming.
Answer these questions as quickly
as
you can so we can get through them. Why was Trump not your candidate in 2016 going into the first election?
Well, I think mainly because of the vulgarity and the racial exclusionary pronouncements that he made, I think is the main one. The second is he really is anathema to the basic conservative principles of why I joined the Republican Party.
Who do you expect his opponent to be? Who comes out of the Democratic convention as the nominee?
Well, let me answer it this way. I think that if it is Joe Biden, I think that Joe Biden will probably win in a landslide. I think if it's Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, I think Trump stands a very good chance of being reelected.
Was impeachment on the mark then for you?
Well, yeah, it certainly was. And I think there's overwhelming evidence to substantiate impeachment. But again, I think I have a pretty high standard. I was the political director of the California Republican Party when Bill Clinton was impeached. And I think that Bill Clinton should have been removed from office because he violated the law. I think if you break the law and it's clear and the evidence is convincing, no one is above the law and you should be removed. I think Clinton should have been removed. And I think Donald Trump should be removed.
Removed as opposed to voted out of office at?
Yeah, absolutely removed. If you break the law as a president of the United States, you should be removed.
All right. Thank you very much.
Great to be with
Glad
you.
Glad to have you here, yeah. Mike. Republican strategist Mike Madrid. You also heard from Reverend Dwight Williams, and you can hear this conversation online and by podcast at capradio.org/insight. By the way, the Democratic Party does have its fractures and its divisions, too. So we are looking for the right opportunity for this same sort of conversation with the Democrats. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. Up next, Governor Newsom's proposed California budget.